G'day everyone, and welcome to episode 51 of X-Band, the Phantom Podcast. Today's episode is split into two parts. I'll start with the second part. The second part of today's podcast is a submission sent in from father and son fans Chase and Greg Brandon from the United States for our Collector's Corner segment, which is very entertaining. Our first part of our podcast is my interview with Michael Rowan. Now, if you have access to Frood number 1762, The Mark of Cain, that's the one with Jamie Johnson's awesome cover, have a read of the forum at the back. On page 32, you'll find a letter from Michael who recounts his time of being in a punk thrash band called Infernal Racket. Now, what does this have to do with the Phantom, I hear you ask? Well, wrap your listening gear around this track entitled For Those Who Came In Late. Enjoy. Michael, how are you going?
Very well, man. How are you?
Not too bad.
Excellent.
Just been listening to your track a few more times.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, interesting one. Very, very old and very rough.
But enjoyable. I like it.
Excellent. Yeah, it's probably the subject matter, I guess, that interests
that helps
you the most. Yeah, awesome. Great site too, guys.
Oh, thanks.
Didn't even realise that existed till you mentioned it, but yeah, fabulous. Good to see, you know, passion in the form of multimedia.
Definitely getting out there. Like Joe started it all, and then Jermaine got on board, and I came on, I don't know, last year or the year before, and now recently Dan's been chiming in, so it's been, just continues to grow.
Yeah, awesome. And I guess you just keep an eye on everything worldwide that's happening Phantom.
Yeah, well, at the moment, Joe's over in England, so he's working over there at the moment, so he hears a few things over there, and Jermaine, he's got something on his computer that alerts him every time, you know, the word's mentioned online, and just, he knows what's going on before they know, I think.
Yeah, fantastic. It was actually awesome just in seeing it too, that, is it Sammy J's?
Doing
a Phantom show, and I thought, excellent, man. It's almost like, artists everywhere, you know, could be starting to embrace it a lot more in sort of popular culture.
Yeah. Oh, I'm keen to get to that show. I live in Ballarat, so it's not too far away.
Excellent. Because we are inundated with Marvel superheroes.
Oh.
Totally just oversaturated, even though they're good. Right, but it seems like the Phantom could maybe step up a bit more and be a bit more prominent, you know. Because I think he's he's a legend, you know, and I think he's a great role model. He's, and in my mind, he exists. He's a real person, you know, a real, he exists in consciousness, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think the Furry Crew, Dudley and the boys
yeah.
there, I reckon they're doing a fantastic job at the moment. They're really,
they are.
Put the ball and run with it. They're doing great.
Also, I was so happy to hear that Glenn had bought into it.
Yeah.
It just seemed like a perfect match. It just made sense. And I was just like, yeah, great. Enthusiastic. And I think the fans are feeling it too. Like it really is a new era. And
yeah.
Just the Phantom Forum coming back as well, I think is a great thing, because that just brings everything up into the present, into the moment. People can speak their mind and they can, it's almost like it might get put together now in real time, you know, which because all the fans are able to have their input. As to how they sort of see things. So I think it's almost like a groundbreaking thing that the Australian crew are doing, you know, like for Australia. Like, I don't know where the other guys are at as how they operate out of their comics and things like that, but just, yeah, I think it's a real milestone.
Yeah, too right. And I like it how, like, he publishes just about everything. If you criticise him, Dudley still publishes it. But he also has the right reply, and he often does. And it's, you know, just... Yeah, it's excellent to have that open communication between the publishers and the fans. It's been great.
Yeah, totally. And the emails, generally he'll get back to you, you know, that day.
Yeah.
With a response, so that's great too. You know, just to have that sort of follow up and that reliability.
Mm.
You know, yeah. That's great. Dudley's a legend, mate.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're listening, Dudley.
he will. He does listen to this. Oh, have you got your Furry Crew ring?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I assume it's on its way. So, looking forward to it, actually. I've been a Phantom fan for a long time, actually. I got my first one at a flea market back in, I think it was like the summer of 86.
Your first comic?
86, 87, yeah. That's where I picked up the first comic that I had exposure to anyway. And it was pretty much from there, so... Yeah, it's kind of like I look at the Furry Crew as being like a bit like an official member of the Jungle Patrol, kind of. You know what I mean? As nerdy as that sounds, but
It's like an honorary doctorate. You didn't have to go through all the work, but but you've been with us for enough time. Here's a little award for you.
Yeah, awesome. But yeah, I mean, the younger generation. I mean, it'd be good to see the kids, you know, pick it up. Probably more so, you know, and really inspire the the young guys to sort of get, or young guys and girls, you know, to sort of get into the Phantom, you know,
and that's the big thing. Like, you know, we're already fans, but we're already, you know, a bit older. It's the younger ones that need to get into it. And about a month or so ago, I was in my local comic shop, and the owner is a Phantom fan, but she doesn't have that, you know, that much. But yeah, this young bloke, you know, maybe grade 5 or grade 6, came in with his old man, and they were looking for Phantom stuff. Yeah, this is what we're after. He just picked up, you know, half a dozen comics or something at a garage sale, and he'd read them, and he was keen to get into more. But yeah, that's how everyone starts, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Mm.
And if you trust in the universe, you'll get those right comics that just appeal to you. You know, like it's almost like, yeah, the story comes in the right way for you to sort of, you know, get involved, so to speak.
To hook you in.
Hook you in. Totally.
Yeah. Now, another thing that's got a good hook is your little punk rock
the
Infernal Racket.
Infernal Racket. So, yeah, back that was a band, well, basically when I was younger. So that was with a guy that I went to school with. So I was in late sort of high school days, and he was a guitar player and I was a guitar player, and we just started hanging out and just eventually started jamming and, yeah, just put this sort of thrash band together. That was sort of the thing. I mean, it was late 80s, so it was just coming out of
there. Okay.
It was during the, actually, you know what? What time? No, it was more 90s, actually. So it was probably just after the 90, 91, 92 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you'd been through the skate, you know, skateboards had been the biggest thing in the late 80s. So you had all the sort of punk and thrash music sort of going on there. But I've got to say that the Infernal Racket stuff was actually inspired heavily by the Looney Tunes theme. If you remember the intro to those cartoons,
the merry-go-round breaks down or something.
Yeah, so I was like, so it had that sort of fast sort of thing. So
yeah,
it definitely had that vibe applied to, because there's other tracks too. So, but it was all just sort of fast. Teenagers just sort of, you know, just hitting it and having a bit of fun with loud distorted guitars. But yeah, the Phantom as a subject matter, just, I don't know, I guess the subject matter over a lot of the other songs was just crazy sort of stuff. It was a band where you could write about anything. You know, it could be political, it could be comic book hero, it could be about, you know, something as crazy as your microwave blowing up, you know, or something like that. So it was just, yeah, just creative, you know, just a great creative outlet, and we had a lot of fun with it. But yeah, the Phantom song still existed to this day, and I did see something recently where the guy from The Simpsons, the guy who does the voicing for Homer and that, I think he was touring, and his band is called Infernal Racket or something around Infernal Racket, and it's just like, hold on, man, that was our band, you know, kind of thing. But funny enough, the name Infernal Racket actually came from a Simpsons episode. Back in the day, I think Lisa referred to something as being an infernal racket. So the name was birthed through the Simpsons anyway. So it's just a funny sort of turn of events there.
It's a circle of life.
It's a circle of life, yeah. Just magic happens every day. So totally.
And so are you the lyricist on this one, or did you have help from your mate for those who came in late?
For those who came in late, yeah, I wrote that one. I did most of the writing of the lyrics and stuff. So I was the big Phantom fan in the band. My friend was more the lead player, and he'd sort of come up with riffs and stuff. So it just sort of balanced things out nicely. But yeah, just being a huge fan, you know, and just even, like, I wouldn't say I'm the biggest fan in the world. Like, obviously there's fanatics out there. Totally, but, you know, like, I'd call myself a big fan. Like, I've seriously been on it most of my life. There have been times where I've been off the Phantom, but you always come back to it, you know, and you sort of pick it up and just start picking them up every fortnight again. Yep. But, yeah, I did. I got a tattoo at 18 years of age of the Phantom on my right shoulder.
All right.
I don't know, I just wanted a tattoo, and a friend of mine had a smoking gun, Ned Kelly, actually, that I loved, and I thought, I love that tattoo, I want to get that, but I can't get the same tattoo. And then there was the T-shirt at the time, I had the smoking gun with the Phantom image, so I just got that done, and I've had that ever since, and I've never regretted it, actually.
Cool.
So,
any other Phantom artwork, or just kept it with
just,
that
one? No, just that one, just as far as Phantom goes, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I'm not sure how many people out there have got a Phantom tattoo, but I'm sure there are.
There's a few out there. We might do a call out on Chronicle Chamber, and you know, get a few photos up there. Or you can send a photo through to me, and I'll post it up there as well with the interview. And
totally. So for those who came in late, which was the Phantom song by Infernal Racket. I think I sort of spoke to you earlier that I just had the idea because I'm involved in a music project these days. Called the Spellbreakers.
I did see that when I was doing my spot of Googling before we'd had everything organised. What's this Spellbreakers thing? So yeah, what's this Spellbreakers thing you've got going there, Michael?
So that's a music project that I sort of manage at the moment, which involves like songwriting. So I'll be writing songs for it, but we actually just call in sort of guest musicians, and I guess. Most especially a vocalist. So we'll call in a guest vocalist kind of thing. So it'd be the Spellbreakers featuring so-and-so vocalists. So this can be sort of around anything, but just thought, well, there's this Phantom song, and just maybe almost just was thinking of putting the challenge out there to the young fans, you know, that are in bands out there, whether it's a thrash band or whatever, to do their own take on the song, just as a challenge. Yep. And we sort of, I don't like to use the word judge, but just sort of pick the best sort of take on it and give those guys or girls the opportunity to record the song in a professional studio. And then we'd release it as a Spellbreakers track.
Well, I think that's a fantastic opportunity for anyone who's keen.
For anyone who's keen and you know, like it just, if someone, you know, just whoever feels the challenge, you know, and feels like stepping up and just having a bit of fun with it. So I'd pretty much just leave the song as it is there, just the words are there, the music's there, and just for them to just do a take of it. So how they interpret the lyrics or interpret the music and just do a version. Like it could even be a country, you know, country version or jazz version or whatever the people feel. But yeah, it could be just a cool little Phantom community competition, so to speak.
Excellent. Well, we do like our competitions here at Chronicle Chamber, so we'll definitely be running that. And we'll be able to get the anyone who enters, we'll be able to put them up on our site as well, just to share them with the world. Or should we wait until the winner's done?
No, whatever you'd like to do. I mean, just to expose all the people that, you know, all the entries, I guess at different times, you know, all the sort of close entries is a great idea because it gets the energy going and gets people sort of inspired. So the best thing would be to just, and with technology these days, you know, you can film stuff pretty easily with your phone. So even if it was just an acoustic guitar, you know, the girl singing or a guy singing, and just upload it to YouTube or directly to your Chronicle Chamber, whatever's the easiest sort of way to sort of do it.
Yep. Oh, very good. I'm actually a muser myself.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm into heavy metal. I play the tuba.
Righto. Well, do you put a distortion pedal on your tuba?
It's all in the mouth and all in the lips, all in the embouchure.
Excellent.
My day job, I'm a teacher and I'm head of music and I've been getting into a fair bit of recording with the kids, so put it as a work requirement. You've got this song, you know, have a crack at it and see what they do with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of them are very creative, actually. I'm always impressed with what they come up with every week.
Absolutely. No, it'd be great for the younger gen to get involved in this because it's about generating interest, you know, in the younger community for the Phantom.
Yeah.
And music's a great tool for doing that. So, yeah, cool. And even a video clip or something might be an option too, but, you know, we'll just go one step at a time, eh?
Yeah. So... Cool. I reckon that's excellent.
That'd be a lot of fun, and it could be. I mean, you've got X-Band, so it could be like X-Band Factor, you know? something cheesy like that.
do like a good slice of cheese. It'd be better than the show that Channel 7 or whoever puts up, you know? That you actually want to hear.
Totally.
Oh, very good. So, do you collect much in the way of Phantom stuff?
Only comics.
Yeah.
I had a massive collection that I've been collecting since the late 80s, pretty much. So it was about 600 strong or something like that. And just because of what I've been doing the last few years, I've been more on the road and sort of haven't really had anywhere to store a lot of my stuff. So I really broke a lot of my gear down to, you know, a couple of suitcases, so to speak. So unfortunately, I had to move the collection on. But it went to a good home, which was good. So that was the thousands of issues and everything, you know, like, and even a few sort of early issues and things like that. But, you know, I moved on from it, man. And it just, I actually sent in to Fru at some stage and just said, you know, are you guys thinking of having like digital, you know, fortnightly releases as a future, option kind of thing instead of the printed?
Yep.
Just where you can actually just maybe bring them into your laptop, you know, each sort of, Fortnite and just have a digital copy.
Yeah.
And, the response was that there could be sort of copyright issues or, you know, things like that with it. But, yeah, it seems the way a way of the future.
Yeah, something to look into. I think Egmont are doing something very similar at the moment, the Scandinavian crew.
Yeah.
If they haven't done it already, I think that I've heard that they're looking into it.
Yeah, sure. And it just makes it easier to get back issues as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a process of obviously scanning everything in, but, yeah, I mean, you could have access to the whole, you know, the whole sort of collection pretty much and have it in a special holding file, you know, like and just set up a really nice platform for it as well, almost like a library. It could be an online Phantom library, you know, that almost you check into and have a membership to or something like that.
Well, yeah, they're going to make any money off it. You can't just put stuff up there for free. Are companies, so you've got to have some sort of...
Some way of generating income, obviously, or the wheels don't turn. So, and hats off to the artists. I mean, it's incredible what they do, eh?
Oh, have you seen Jamie Johnson's stuff coming out at the moment?
Not sure.
Oh, the latest, the, well, the one where your letter comes into it. Well, yeah, I must have,
Mark of Cain.
Mark of Cain, yeah.
Is that Jamie Johnson, is it?
That's Jamie Johnson. That is a brilliant piece of artwork.
It is.
I really enjoy that.
It is, and from reading that, it seemed like he'd only done a couple before this or something. Like,
yeah, he hasn't done a great job. He's done a great job. He hasn't done a great deal of them. No, but no, it's great to see through giving all these artists, so whether the Australian or whoever, a go. And the Supernova cover is testament.
Oh, yeah. Jamie Johnson's the cover guy. That's right. Mm. Yeah, I love the idea of having just guest guys doing covers. I think that's a great great avenue to do that. Obviously, Glenn gets a few covers in there too.
yeah.
You know, we've got to have that. But, yeah, but yeah, just having a few just people sending in covers is great.
Yeah. And I don't think in that Mark of Cain story, we haven't discussed this on Chronicle Chamber yet, but I don't think I know of any the internal art by Ruiz, I think. Have you read that comic
book? I have, yep.
Yeah, I was really impressed with his artwork. I can't remember reading it before, and I'm sure that when I talk to Jermaine about this, he'll have it straight away. But I thought it was very much like, in the style of that Alex Saville, very straight lines, very clean, but black also and white. Quite bold. And
it was definitely bold, yeah.
But, I really enjoyed that. And yeah, I can't wait to discuss that with the boys a little bit later on.
Are you enjoying Are you enjoying the shorter length?
I'm not minding it at all. Like when you enter it with a bit of trepidation. You know what's going to happen. But there was a couple of stories before that went to the 22 page where there was a fair bit of filler in a couple of those stories. Like the pages were just there because there had to be pages there. There was a story where I think it was the second Phantom. He just seemed to be wallowing around Venice or something like that. The story wasn't going anywhere. He seemed quite sad, and it just didn't seem Phantom-like. And they could have just wiped that part out of the story. And what I've been liking with these 22 pages, they don't feel short. They feel like a good, solid story.
Sure. Tighter sort of thing.
Yeah. And if they ever need longer, they'll have two parters and they'll go to 44 pages or what have you. So I haven't minded it that much, and I like the fact that Frew have kept theirs to 36 and added in Heart of Darkness or added in anything.
Yeah, so, that's been great.
Yeah, so but yeah, they haven't compromised on their pages, but they've kept it to at least 36. So no, kudos to everyone all around on that. It's going well, I think.
Totally. Mm. Just one thing I'd say there, just to Steve, is just one thing I miss from like the earlier Phantoms, probably the Fork, the Lee Fork era, is the Phantom sense of humour.
Yeah.
He had a certain sort of charisma, sort of sense of humour kind of thing going on. There'd be like the little one-liners thrown in, if you don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah, just that was warm, had a nice warmth about it to the Phantom's character. I think that just unfortunately is sort of missing from a lot of the more modern stuff.
Beginning to dwindle a bit. So would you call yourself a modernist or a forkist? We've had this discussion on the website a bit.
I like it all. There's been some absolutely some of the modern stories out of Scandinavia. So there's been some epic ones, like totally, absolutely, that have just been just unreal, you know. But I like it all. It's all different. It's all got different flavour, you know. Obviously, the very basic artwork of the original stuff to the pretty complex stuff these days. It's all different, you know, and it's just all good, you know. And it only takes you a few panels to get into the vibe of that story from that era.
Yep.
You know, like obviously when we're reading the comics, you know, these black and white comics, we all must have pretty good imaginations, you know, and we make it work.
That's right. And with very little background and all that sort of stuff. Nowadays, it's just it's very detailed now.
One of the best issues that I've seen recently was the tribute issue, the colour one.
Yes. The Paul Ryan tribute.
Absolutely, and that was just stunning. That was an absolutely stunning issue, man. One of the top 10 of all time. It's got to be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're not alone there. But that's got a lot of love. That
Yeah.
issue.
Yeah. Yep. God bless him.
Yeah. Oh, you mentioned that you've had to give away a lot of your collection. Did you keep anything? Did you keep any comics at all before you had to move them on?
No, I sold them all. I sold them all as a bundle on eBay.
Made a clean break.
Had a clean break, yeah.
Yeah.
I had to, but yeah, the guy that bought them was absolutely stunned. He basically picked up all the issues from where he left off, kind of thing. So that made me feel good. I mean, I'd read them all. You know, they're all in my mind already. So, but I've got another bundle building, you know, because I started collecting them again. So I've got like a pile a foot high already.
Good stuff.
You know?
Actually, when you were saying before, you know, how you got rid of it and all that, and you were saying you're on the road and what have you. When we were talking to Sammy J, it was very much the same sort of story. He couldn't have them anymore. He was always out touring, whatever, and
Yeah.
he found that, you know, they were up in the attic, and he never really got to spend time with them. So he moved his collection on, but he kept a couple safe. Have you listened to our interview with him?
Not yet, no.
I'll put it out. I'll recommend that
I'll definitely
you
give it a listen.
you give it a listen. I won't spoil it for you, but some of his stories are quite touching. You know, he's kind of like bringing the Phantom to his kids in a very, very special way.
Okay.
Yeah, he nearly got quite emotional there at one stage. It was that type of interview. But
Yeah, fantastic.
good fun. Excuse me.
No, he's a very special character to many. You know, it's like you kind of feel he's yours. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like everyone, he's kind of like in your world. You
That's
know,
it.
and everyone would have that sort of connection with him whilst reading, I would assume.
And yeah, I think very much the same. Like when you read it, like you can quite easily, he comes from your world. Like you can put your background into him or something like that.
Totally.
Yeah.
And he's probably different in that respect to everyone as well. Because he's, yeah, coloured with everyone's experiences and that sort of stuff. But yeah, I reckon he's great, man. And thank you, Lee Falk, you know, for coming up with such a great character, because I think he trumps all the rest.
Well, he does. He was the original and still the best. That's my take on it. Lee Falk brought the Phantom out, you know, a good couple of years before Batman or Superman hit the pages. So it's not just us, you know, fans that are thanking Lee Falk. Or the whole, you know, those DC and Marvel guys, they need to be thanking him as well. It's in
Yeah,
my opinion.
totally. The original seed, so to speak.
That's it. And that is pretty much about it. Anything else you'd like to say to the listeners out here? Oh, where can we see? So, do you do much gigging? But, you know, where would we be able to see the Spellbreakers?
Probably not gigging just yet. We're more sort of in the process of building a web presence.
Yeah.
So we do have a website, www.thespellbreakers.com. The music's up on the web. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's on a web cha sorry, what is it? YouTube channel called Epic Shorts. We've got a few
Sure.
videos there. Epic Shorts. So that's the YouTube channel. I can send you through the links
Oh,
and
yeah, that'd be
stuff,
good.
whatever you need. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, just still crafting stuff, man. Like it's been last few years has been pretty intense. So just lots of ideas and just trying to put it into a form that we can actually work with. So a lot of it's still getting developed. So with the putting this challenge out to the young fans to maybe do a Phantom song or do a remix or a redo of the Phantom song. I mean, we're walking together in the development of what the Spellbreakers is going to be. So it's kind of determined by what happens in each moment, you know. Like we're not trying to just prepare a whole lot of stuff just out of thin air and think too far into the future. It's happening as it's happening, and it's getting documented as it's happening. And that's the only way to do it in this 21st century, you know.
Yeah, it's quite a
As
project.
yeah, as with the, you know, the Phantom comic sort of opening up into that sort of real-time forum kind of vibe. I mean, that's what it's going. I mean, the world is changing, and the world is changing fast. You know, there's a lot different from last century.
Oh, too right.
And everything goes with it. One thing can't change without everything changing. So it's exciting times for everything and everyone. You know?
Excellent.
Cool. Awesome, right. Steve.
No worries. Well, thanks again, Michael. And yeah,
nice talking with you.
Yeah, no, it was always good to talk to a fan, I reckon.
Yeah, totally. It's a secret society, eh?
Well, we don't want it to be too secret. We want everyone to know about the fandom. And
we do.
Yeah, get it out there.
Absolutely. Spread the word.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thanks again, mate. And yeah.
You're welcome.
Happy fandoming.
Happy fandoming.
All right, cheers.
Cheers, man.
All right, we are recording. So, today is August 27th, 2016. I'm Greg, here with my dad, Chase, the first Phantom collector. I'm the second generation Phantom collector. And we're going to talk about a couple of our favorite pieces and a little bit of the backstory.
Greg, you know, sitting here, I see we've got the original signed art panel that Mr. Falk did for me, and I had it in my office for many, many years, and never thought I would turn loose of it, but it was clearly time to pass along the collection to you. I've always been so proud that you cared as much about it as I do, and now you have a son, I have a grandson that cares about it. So the art piece certainly is one of my favorite things, but it was the impetus for me starting to rebuild the collection that I had when I was a kid, and stupidly, like a lot of teenagers did in the past, gave away or threw away their baseball cards and their comic collections. And I gave both of my collections away, and later in life wanted to have the Phantom again and set about trying to rebuild all the collection. Found out that some of the comics I'd paid 10 cents for, I was lucky if I was finding them for 10 bucks. But anyway, got involved in that along the way, had a book finder look for and was successful in locating a first edition of Mr. Falk's wonderful book, The Son of the Phantom. And when you were in grade school, early in grade school, I would read from this to you at night.
It was third grade, right? We were in Houston.
Yeah, we were in Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. You were in the third grade, and I read parts of chapters. I couldn't stay awake for an entire chapter, but I read parts, and we got completely through the book. And now it's here in your beautiful office and your wonderful home with my fantastic daughter-in-law and my little grandson and granddaughter, and you are the heir apparent and the manager of our joint collection. But it is so cool that little Jake likes all this stuff as well, and I think you're planning to read this to him maybe within the next year when he's old enough to understand it. So this book means a lot to me.
Yeah, no, it does to me too. I've always said that's the one thing that, you know, the house is on fire and you run inside and, you know, once the family's safe, you try to grab those couple of important items. I think of the collection, that might be the one that I grab just for, you know, sentimental sake. I mean, I don't even know if it's the most valuable thing we have, but, you know, money-wise, that doesn't matter. I'm very much excited to read that.
Well, promise me you'll grab my grandson in the other hand while you grab the book.
Yeah, same time. Package deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure when I'm going to wind up reading that. I read a Jacob every night right now, and he loves it. And, you know, we're doing more complicated books, but he still likes seeing the pictures, so I think that's probably a little ways off. But
yeah, this might be a year and a half or 2 years off. Who knows?
Well, you read it to me when I was nine, so yeah. It might be even longer still.
Longer than
I'm probably going to push it because I'm excited to read it to him, so I'll probably start too early. He's not going to like it. I'm going to be bummed out. I'm going to have to just kind of evaluate and try again when he's a little bit older. We'll see. Maybe he'll take to it earlier. I don't know.
I think he has more Phantom fan DNA in him than you and I realize.
Well, actually, he just turned, you know, two last week, and for his birthday, he got the Phantom Rider action figure toy, and he unwrapped it and took it out of the box, and, you know, yes, I know, Phantom collector fans, I actually opened the box and took the toy out, but I have another one, so this was just for him to play with. But he loves playing with it. So, Yeah, maybe he'll be a bigger fan earlier on, and he'll like reading it. I hope so.
Well, certainly if we continue to draw the good graces of Bradley Peach, maybe Jake can always have Phantom T-shirts.
Well, and actually, from the very outset, he's had his little onesie, and Bradley recently sent a bib for Evie, and they both, I have a photo of both of them wearing the onesie, and in both photos, they're screaming.
Well, I'm as you know, I'm saving up all of my United Airline air miles. So if Bradley reviews this thing, you need to understand there, buddy. One of these days, Gregory and I are coming, and we expect you to put us up in great style.
So the other item that I'd like to talk about that I particularly enjoy is a copy of Ace Comics number 11, the first appearance of the Phantom. I mean, if you're a comic collector, you've got to have the first
one. Got to have the first one.
But it's really tough to find for the Phantom because he's a sought-after character and, you know, old comic and all that stuff. So you find them pop up from time to time, and they're, you know, I don't know, $800, $1,500, depending on condition. And that's just kind of a lot for a comic, obviously. But I found this one. I want to say it was on ComicConnect.com. I'll have to go back and double-check. But it was coverless, and a comic with no cover is generally kind of thought of as no point.
Doesn't count.
I mean, the cover is the thing that you care about.
Yeah.
But in this case, the cover didn't even have the Phantom on it, so I didn't really care about the cover as much. What I wanted was the very first panel ever printed of the Phantom, which this has. The interior is completely intact. So I picked it up for $40, which seems like a steal. So I have, it's right here, I took it out of the case, and I've got, you know, the Phantom, the very first panel, he's brown, and we have it, and I just think it's the coolest thing in the world.
It is.
So what I did was create my own cover. I found a image of the Ace Comics number 11 cover, put it in Photoshop and kind of cleaned it up, but then I added my own little twist to it, because what first edition or first appearance comic doesn't have the character on it somewhere? So I included a little picture of the Phantom in the bottom left corner, and I believe this is a Ray Moore, a Wilson McCoy.
Wilson McCoy, yeah.
Art, because I think he was the one drawing it at the time.
Right.
Oh no, it does say Ray Moore.
Oh. All right.
Well, maybe that is Moore. Actually, yeah. Let's see the eye, the mask. It looks similar. That's got to be Moore. Because I was trying to do the artist that was
in. Well, it almost doesn't matter now because you've already made the cover, so
yeah,
it's on there.
It doesn't matter who it is. It looks great. That's all that matters. But so I printed it out, put it in the bottom corner. It says, introducing the Phantom. And it's, you know, nice picture of him kind of pointing up at the sky. And I just love it because it has him now on the cover of his first appearance. And given that I do, you know, Photoshop stuff for work, it was kind of fun applying my, you know,
oh no, it's incredible. I'm so happy, believe me, as your dad, I am so happy that your college education produced somebody who came right out of school, went right to work, and you immediately started paying for your own bills. I like that.
And then somewhere in there I made a Phantom cover.
Yeah. One of these days, I hope, in addition to being the CEO of our combined collection, you will take on more of the responsibilities of being the CFO.
That's not the fun part. Spending the money is the fun part.
It is.
Or buying is the fun part.
I like the fact that we sit and plot and work out what it is our budget allows for the continuation of growing the collection. And you've done such an incredible job. I'm so proud of you, of course, but I'm really proud of what we've got together now. And I think it's so cool that little Jake likes the character, likes the action figures, likes the T-shirts. And believe me, son, I can't wait for you to read this book to him like I did to you.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it, too. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, that concludes our couple of items I think we want to talk about. But since we're here and we're recording, might as well just keep going. Tell the story about when you went to Brazil and had your find of finds, which, while I think you were sort of eyeing the Phantom and you were, you know, keeping an eye on newspapers. I mean, that was the story that really got you kind of full bore back into collecting
it. Yeah, I had decided I wanted to recoup all the comics that I had purchased when I was a kid. And I was doing that, and I was clearly heading back into the realm of collecting, but I was also traveling a lot around the world then for my own work, and I was very pleasantly surprised to find how many different countries the Phantom was in. And I was in Brazil, I was walking down the street, and there was a little magazine kiosk, and hanging from a old-fashioned wooden clothespin was a Phantom, a Brazilian version of the Fantasma. And I went nuts. And so I speak fluent Spanish and have some skill with Portuguese because it's quite similar. But I was talking to the guy running the magazine place and asked him if he had any more, and he fished around and found two or three more of them, and so I bought all of them, and I was standing there looking at them on the street corner, and I saw that they were published in Rio de Janeiro, and that's where I was, and there was an address on the publishing company. So on impulse, I flagged down a cab, jumped in the back seat, showed him the magazine, showed him the address, and said, you know, do you know where this is, and can you take me there? And he said, well, yes, I can. It's on the other side of town. It's a long drive. I said, I don't care. Take me there. So we drive for 35, 40 minutes. And so kind of an industrial warehousey looking district. And there's the address. I walk up some stairs. I told the taxi driver, stay here. I will make it worth your time. You must stay and wait for me. So he said he would. Went upstairs, talked to the person behind the desk. I said, I just bought these, and this is the publishing company, apparently. Do you have any more? And the woman said, well, yes, we do. How many would you like? What editions? And we have a smaller magazine rather than these large album annuals. I said, I want one of everything you have. And she said, well, let me go work on that. It's going to take a while. I said, how long is a while? She said, maybe 45 minutes. I said, that's fine. So I went back downstairs, gave the cab driver some more money, said, stay put. Please don't leave me. I'll make it worth your while. Went back up. About 30 some odd minutes later, out she comes with two gigantic cardboard boxes that had something like 100 Brazilian Phantoms in it. So I went totally crazy. Got them down the cab, got back to the hotel, stayed up all night flipping through them. Couldn't read them all, obviously, but I was just checking the covers on them. They were beautiful artwork, and it was just incredible. And so that really, that was like a shot of adrenaline for my determination to build a more comprehensive collection, and certainly to get all of the American Phantoms, many of which I had from the 50s, but that was the big moment. And then course we took them and did something interesting with them later for you for your birthday, the card collection.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, so about the time that you read the Son of the Phantom book to me, I think that was my 10th birthday. I was turning 10, so I was all juiced up on Phantom at that point. So part of the, I guess part of the collection at that point, because we couldn't always find comics, you know, it was tough to go find them. What you could do was make these custom cards that you designed. And so we were taking the covers to little copy club there in Houston and getting nice color copies and of the covers. They were reduced in size and laminated and, you know, cut into essentially trading cards. So the front had, you know, the cover of the comic, and the back had
common silhouette of his head.
Right, either a skull of his head, something. And that made kind of a series of cards. And so that concept turned out pretty well.
I think it was also technically, actually, the first ever set of Phantom collector cards, I think. I maintain that it was.
Yeah, I can't definitively argue that, so I won't. Yeah, it's the first ones ever.
Yeah, first ones ever. We did it right here.
And so then, of course, that spawned off having to get, you know, all the entire American series copied. But So I guess at that point we had the entire base run of Gold Key, King, and Charlton.
Right.
Because
yeah.
we had all the, because we couldn't go on the internet and get the photo. You had actually yeah. Xerox the cover, so we obviously yeah. had them. So
the Harveys and the Aces were eluding us.
Yes,
still.
Those we didn't have the feature books. We did DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we did the Wolf. Because
those were out at the
King,
time.
Yeah. Wolf came later.
Did you do Defenders of the Earth? I'm not sure that made the cut.
No, because we had our own criteria about what we were. Actually, we did wind up doing Defenders of the Earth.
Well, I think you wound up spending hundreds of dollars on Xerox copies, and maybe you sort of just had to cool down.
Yeah, it was time to go somewhere else and find the real thing, where they just keep making copies.
So going back to the year of Brazil trip, that was the after that trip when you bought all the big albums and then the boxes of the smaller comics. That prompted you to write Lee Falk, because you'd been communicating with him for a while at that point, right?
Yes.
And then that's when you told him, hey, you sent him something.
I found Mandrake in Spanish.
That's what it was.
And it was the Sunday Daily, and I brought the newspaper back with me, because I'd been in Colombia at the time.
Is that a different trip than?
Yeah, that was a different trip.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I sent him a copy of Mandrake in Spanish, and told him about my collection and restructuring it, and you had come along in life, and so I was hopeful that you would pick up the mantle to take the collection forward. And that started then a whole series of communications with him, with letters going back and forth, and him sending me, and then later you, autographed copies of some of his comic strip, daily strips, and some of his handout giveaway things that he had uniquely for himself. And we're looking at those right now on your wall, along with the movie posters of Billy Zane, which we were really lucky to get signed by Billy. So all of it was super. And then at some point, several years back, I turned the whole kit and caboodle over to you when you married, started your family, and have this beautiful office. And we put together the shelving and the glass cases and all that.
Well, you know what really, so for a long time the collection existed at your house in the plastic storage bins in your basement. Little side story on that, they were in cardboard comic boxes for a long time.
Yes.
Until Jamie went down there and said, well, you have a lot of stuff in here. We should probably put these in the plastic bins so that, they're just a little bit more protected. I said, oh, okay, sure. So there they go. Then one day your basement flooded, and there was water draining from the ground in through a window on top of the Phantom collection, bouncing off the plastic bins, harmlessly hitting the floor.
Yes, yes.
If that had hit the cardboard comic storage collection,
would have destroyed the whole thing.
I mean, there's no, we plastic bag all the comics, but if it's sitting in water, that's not going to help. So, the collection was very close to being pretty much destroyed. 10 years ago at this point, I guess, 15 years ago?
Came through with flying dry colors.
Yeah, so no damage, dodgeable on that one. But what made the collection come from your house to my house was the Peaches coming to visit. You remember?
Yes, absolutely.
So Bradley and Joy coming
Bradley
to town,
and Joy.
And they're going to stay with me, and so we wanted to, stay up late and dig through comics. And so, I went over there with the truck and threw everything in the back and brought it over. And I don't think we really thought about it at the time, but that was a pretty significant physical passing of the collection over, because we both knew that was never going to go back. You were so glad to get the basement storage space back.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't about to take it back. You were the new CEO of the Phantom Collection, the corporate structure.
Yeah, well, the structure of the collection was a giant heap of boxes in the basement for about a month and a half. And then Tess was starting to get frustrated about it, asking when I was going to take it back to your house.
Yes.
And I had to have the unpleasant conversation of, these might be staying here forever.
Yeah, but I think you just told her with some sadness and regret that I simply refused to take them back, and there was no getting around it.
You were thrown under the bus.
Did you throw me on me? Threw me under the bus? Yeah, oh, yeah. I suspected that was the case. But then, to your credit, you convinced her being the minimalist that she was and still is, that it was okay to put these wonderful bookcase units in and all the other stuff that we did because it needed to be properly displayed. And we did that in one weekend. Went around, bought some really nice things, and got it all put together.
When Tess was out of town.
Yeah, Tess.
Very important detail. She was gone.
Tess being my daughter-in-law, who I love dearly, but she was an impediment for the Phantom progression for the new generation of curator of the Phantom collection, being my son. So we got all that done, and she actually liked it. But the guy that really nailed this thing down, of course, was Jake. Because when Tess brought him down here that one time and he was still quite little, I think he was in the carry bag hanging from her chest, and she walked over and just let him look at the collection, and he reached out for the Phantom.
Yeah, so I think what did it was the mask in the middle and some of the statues, because he could, you know, he liked seeing those, and the art on the walls. He couldn't have been more than 8 or 9 months old. Just love to be down here and just look. And so you'd bring him down here, and he'd, you know, kind of be bobblehead and looking around, and you would turn around, and he would turn his head to continue looking at the Phantom poster or the statue. I mean, he locked on and like wanted to see.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, if he was crying or upset, Tess would walk down here and just stand in front of the collection and just let him look at it, just to distract him, just to give him something else to focus on, to settle him down. And he would. He liked being down here. And now...
And it won her over,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, no, that was actually a huge boost in letting this thing continue to reside here.
So now, really, what she looks forward to most, I guess, is when he's grown up, goes out on his own, has his own house, and then he gets to take all this stuff and move it to his location.
Yeah, that'll be probably her biggest
relief.
Yeah, exciting, you know, thing in the Phantom collection. She'll be very glad to pass it down to the next generation. I'm pretty confident.
Well, I probably will not be around it at that point, but I'll tell you, just thinking about the passage of all of this from one Phantom collector / father to the son of a Phantom collector is absolutely like the story itself, and it's what makes this all so incredibly wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I hope little Evie likes this stuff too. I mean, I don't want to leave her out of the Phantom collection and all that. I know it's kind of typically a boy thing, but I hope she likes it too. You know, I mean, maybe in a perfect world they have to kind of fight over what they get, or they both want to play with it. But
well, Lord knows there's enough here for the two of them to divide up someday, because it's gotten to be a pretty big collection. We're not sure where we fit in the U.S. collectors realm. Pete Klaus, our buddy Pistol Pete in Baltimore, probably got the number one spot in the United States. I'm not sure where we fall behind him, but it doesn't matter about the amount of the collection itself. What really matters so much is how valuable our collection is to us, and how much history is in it. And it's wonderful that I've seen you be as, if not more, enthusiastic in the collection even than me, and now I share your great joy and pride in watching this little 2-year-old boy who's already got phantomitis. He just doesn't know it yet. But it's all this stuff is so wonderful, son. This is great.
Well, any other items to talk about, or any other kind of...
No, I got to tell you, for me, one of the things that was so wonderful was the first time Bradley and Joy came and stayed over here, and we had dinner, and then when they came back the second time, they spent their last night with Jamie and me, and we took them to the airport the next day, and we feel like they're, you know, our friends as surely as they are you and for you and Tess. But, man, I think it's imperative that we figure out It'd probably just be you and me. I don't think we can haul the wives and the kids and all the rest of us. But, dude, you and me, we have got to go see the peaches in Australia.
No, I know. I definitely want to do one of the Supernova comic conventions that they do. That's when they do the Phantom Dinners and get together. I think it would be a lot of fun. We'll have to figure that out one of these days.
And we can end this by just reiterating, because Bradley certainly will listen to this, reiterate the expectation that there will be a rip-roaring, wildly accommodating hosting of the Brandon boys at the Peach household. We're coming to see you guys, and we look so forward to it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. We'll have to make that happen.
Yeah.
Somehow one of these days, we need to go down under and God, I don't know what's gonna happen when we go to a comic show and there's actually a lot of Phantom stuff there. We're gonna have to, because for so long, if you see, you know, we've always been working under the assumption that if you see anything Phantom related, period, you just
buy it.
Because it's so rare that if he's on it, it counts. We're gonna have to redo our threshold. Because in Australia, there's just going to be too much stuff. You just can't get it all. Or we do get it all.
Well, as long as the shipping costs don't exceed the purchase price of whatever we buy over there, I guess we'll be okay.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right, well, I think that wraps it up.
Time for a cigar and a cold drink.
Yeah, I agree. All right, signing off.